Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and CapMel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose as your topic fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show. Captain Jason Prieto's in the studios.
Finally.
My good friend Travis Yackel, the fill-in of the year.
Yeah, replacements.
The replacements. The new blood on the show, man, keeping it new, keeping it fresh.
Keeping it fresh, baby.
It's happy Sunday to you guys out there.
Happy Sunday.
I'm just hoping this rain quits. We've had a lot of rain for March. We've had some good fishing. The good snook fishing continues. The
redfish bite's picking up.
The redfish are slowly but surely getting there. And trout fishing was a little bit better this week. We've had a good. It's been overall a good week of fishing. The weather has really been an issue for us. Mm-hmm. We fished around it, got wet. And I think the aggravating thing is that we typically don't have bad weather. Well, we usually have cold fronts, but we don't have rain. I mean, we've had a lot of rain in the Gulf. But, you know, when I started complaining, Travis, I said, you know what, it could be worse. I could be fishing out of the panhandle.
Yeah, them guys up there, man, they're fishing in the flood zone, baby.
Man, it's crazy. So what, are they going to open up the lake locks up there and flood it like they did Okeechobee?
Yeah, just start dumping it out.
Big sugar up in the north end.
Yeah, buddy. Let it roll.
What a mess, man. What a mess that is.
I've seen a lot of pictures on social media, dead fish. I hadn't been down there personally, but it's definitely proven itself to be something worth the attention of everybody, really, to take a look at and, you know, see if we can't get this thing straightened out, man.
I think everybody, society, government needs to look at that and go, yeah, let's not do that again.
Yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, there's nobody, whether you're the green guy, whether you're the fish slayer meat hunter guy, whether you're the politician, there is no argument that we have a problem.
A huge problem. I mean, and I'm not saying, you know, I feel for the people that live on the lake too, that, you know, you don't want them to have a flooded house. That's their place they live. I mean,
yeah.
So it's a tough situation. I would have liked to seen them drain the lake down a little bit at a time, lower than normal. And I don't know if that would have, it wouldn't have hurt. I don't know if it would have fixed the problem, but it would have made it a little bit better, I think. But, you know, it is what it is. Let's just hope that the guys down there, man, I mean, there's a lot of media on it, a lot of attention to it, and so it should be. I mean, it's an issue. I don't know all the details of it. I've through the Florida Guides Association, we've had some internal meetings and trying to get a
great input coming in there. Some of the older guys really putting in. I know, you know, Daddy Dave Marquette had a lot to say about it, and he's got a lot of experience down there. I got a lot of good stuff out of some of the, you know, conversations we had at the meeting.
Well,
a few weeks back, you know.
On
some of the old ways and some of the proven ways to kind of get some of that stuff cleaned up, you know.
It's all politics. That's the problem with things nowadays. It's a lot of politics. Let's get back to fishing. Our first segment is always our fishing, give you guys dialed in on what's going on in the bay. I have to say that the snook fishing, and Neil will probably shoot me for saying this, has been great.
Yeah.
By the way, Neil's taking the night off. Me and Travis are coming. We are super busy, and we told Neil, I said, we're coming in to do radio, man. Go ahead and take it off this week. We got it handled. So he'll be back in. And this is what helps with you coming in on the radio too, is having some another voice out there and flexibility. But you know, snook fishing's been good on the South Shore. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about etiquette on the markers, etiquette on the water. It's always a problem this time of year for whatever reason. This time on the South Shore, it seems to be more and more of an issue with people getting too close, running here, running there. So we're going to talk about that on the second segment. I think it's something we should try to cover to try to give you guys an idea of not for us to tell you that you're doing the wrong thing, or maybe you are, maybe you aren't, but give you some tips that might help you avoid confrontation and get along in the water a little bit
Absolutely.
Better.
Absolutely.
But give us a report, Travis.
Pretty much been seeing the same thing you have, man. Obviously we fish real close to each other in the same areas. I've probably seen a few more redfish than you may have. I've been sitting on some fish here and there, kind of waiting for them. It's been a little bit of a slow bite, but I've had some clients that really wanted to catch some redfish, so we managed to get a few in the boat this week. And then the snook bite's been real good. We've had a lot of high number days. And again, going back to, I know we're going to talk a little bit about etiquette, but there's so many fish around right now. There's no sense in sitting in a spot for 2 or 3 hours and catching 50, 60 fish in the same spot. Use the time to find other spots. There's plenty of fish around. And so,
not even motoring, like on your trolling motor.
Yeah. I mean, you can bounce shorelines, take one spot that you have and draw a 200-yard circle around it and spend a few minutes in some of those other areas just to try not to, storm out these fish too much, it makes it better for everybody. And it's a good time to catch a handful of fish, get your fill in one spot and kind of move along. And it's going to help you along, too, to have a couple other spots to bank on in case, somebody else was fishing in the one that you like to fish. So there's plenty of fish around. I use it. The same thing. I may hit one or two spots that I know have got some fish, and I may check three or four more, that are close to maybe try to find, a little bit better bite or some fish that hadn't really got that much pressure. And with so many boats out right now, it really makes a difference trying to put together a solid day of fishing when you've got a handful of spots that you can catch a few fish out of instead of one that you kind of bank on catching the whole school. So.
What do you foresee going into this next major? We got a new moon going into next week. What do you see changing and happening?
Obviously weather's a big key this time of year. We're starting to come, into this spring, and soon we're going to start getting into afternoon thunderstorms and things like that. But what I see is hopefully getting some water in the backcountry. for whatever reason, couple days this week, the tide seemed to be a little bit lower in the morning, time. And I know in the later evening when the water does get up, there's some good fish getting back in some areas that just don't have quite enough water yet. So look to fish on some of that higher water and find some of these fish up in some areas that they should be this time of year. That would be one of the things that I'm kind of banking on fishing this coming up week. Also, remember around the new and full moons that you get quite a bit of water moving. So we'll be, targeting some of the better spots that we've got, in the better times or the better tides of the day, which we'll get a few, coming up around that new moon. So, those are a couple things that I'll be looking for. Also, trying to key in on some bait. Hopefully this moon pushes some bait up onto the flats and really gets it stacked up in some areas where we can consistently get bait, inshore. So hoping to see some good things come along. We'll just kind of have to wait and see. I know the last 2 weeks, some of the predictions and some of the things that we thought we'd see didn't quite happen. So hopefully things kind of equal out here and start acting like they're supposed to be this time of year.
Well, we had a bunch of stuff happened all at once, and it really didn't hurt the fishing as much as it did bait. I tell you what, I haven't, and I know I've thrown the net that much in 1 week before, but I can't remember hurting that bad at night on my back and just from throwing the net 2 hours a day, every day. We had almost 3 hours one day.
Yeah.
There was some canceled trips. Some other guys canceled trips, couldn't get bait. I got lucky on the one day and just hit the bait once, had enough to fish. But I tell you, it really wore on me.
Yeah, and as a fishing guide, it makes our job a lot more difficult.
When you're running every day, 12 hours a day, you need things to run as smooth as they're supposed to be. There's always a little room for error, but there's not a lot when you got two trips in a day, and we had a lot of error. You know, we had a cold front on Monday, and then we had a full moon on Wednesday. So between the two, you had a 12-degree drop overnight on the flats, and then you throw in the full moon, which was starting to push these schools of bait on the flats, but then the water temperature kind of pushed them back off, and the bait was really limbo. There was some on the markers. There was some on the flats.
Yeah, we even
got
found
real
it
skittish
off the markers, just laying out.
Yeah,
know,
and actually,
transition,
the one that was at Wednesday, thanks to you, gave me the call. You found it stacked up on a marker that was pretty shallow.
Yeah.
Come back the next day, and as I kind of thought, I said, I don't think this stuff was going to be here. I was hoping I was wrong, and it was gone. So it's been some real changes, and it always happens. If I could tell you anything from that last 2 weeks of March, you can expect to struggle to get bait one or two of those days during the weeks for the simple fact it's moving around. And when it's moving around, it's always tough. So it's, but you know, the fishing was good through the full moon.
Fishing was great as long as you could get some bait. The fishing and the fish have been pretty cooperative. I even fished a few days during the rain, and matter of fact, one of our better days red fishing was actually in the rain. So
yeah,
just be careful of lightning. Yeah, be careful of lightning. You know, I mean, we tried to get a couple extra minutes in, and fortunately for us, it paid off. But without bait, it definitely wouldn't have happened. So
yeah, so
you know.
It's a work in progress. There's always changes, but we had some major changes this week. But I think everything's starting to get back to level. Guys, don't forget our official website of the radio show, CaptainMel.com. You can check them out. You can also check us out on Facebook.com/Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. Don't forget, if you missed us on Sunday mornings, you can catch us anytime, any day. All you need is an internet connection, a computer, a smartphone, in your truck. You can get us on our podcast. You can find that on Facebook.com or CaptainMel.com, or simply download the app, Podomatic app, and you can just search Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. You can listen to us anywhere. Guys, we're going to take a little break. When we get back, Captain Travis is going to give you guys the tides and weather. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. Sports Talk 1042.
It gets hotter than a hoochie coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught. Down by the river on a Friday night, pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight. Talking about cars and dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just living for the minute. Yeah, went down yonder on the Chattahoochee. Never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim, and I learned who I was. A lot about living in a little.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you'd like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com. Or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
Introducing Finn, the world's first situational Spectra fiber fishing line with four different braids to choose from. Wind tamer for windy conditions and put an end to wind knots. Shock absorbing for more stretch on those big bites. Original PRT for overall power and performance. And the new Extra Smooth, the strongest, smoothest braid in the market. Get the world's first situational Spectra braid. Fins.
The tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you.
And welcome back to our second segment of the show. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 10-4 the team. Myself, Captain Jason Prieto, is at the helm. Travis, you're in the live well, buddy.
Yeah, man, we are. I'm grubbing in the live well.
Grubbing with the greenbacks.
Grubbing with the greenbacks, baby.
Guys, we're going to give you the tides and weather. And you know what? I'm going to give you a weather prediction because I'm about fed up with the weather guy telling me it's 30% chance of rain and I'm getting rained on at 1 p.m. It might rain. Even though we're in March, the driest, one of the driest months of the year, I would expect to get rained on sometime or another. I'm not even giving a weather prediction. I'm going to do like the weather guy should do. I'm not real sure about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be this, it could be that, or it might be that, but either
might
way,
not be any.
But either way, it's going to be one of those.
let me tell you how to check the weather, okay? You wake up in the morning, you want to know if it's windy. When you go to open your door, if it swings open, it's windy. If you see raindrops, it's raining. If you see clouds, it's going to rain,
it's
probably.
It's going to rain. If you hear thunder, stay inside.
So it's March. You can expect winds and some cold fronts, but the rain is out of the ordinary. But we're going to give you the tides. The tides are a bit more accurate.
Yeah, so as far as we got on the tides, it looks like from what they're predicting here, pretty similar. You're going to see low tides in the morning, which is normal for this time of year. The good thing is we should have some good moving water. That incoming tide in the morning, all week, we're going to have some low water and then a good, strong incoming tide up until lunchtime, a couple hours after. That's going to be a good bite. It's going to give you a good mid-morning bite. And then coming up on Thursday, Friday, we've got that new moon setting in. So you're going to have some really, really strong tides coming up towards the end of the week, which really should produce some great fishing. Just be careful out there on the markers, guys, especially if we get some nasty wind and weather. We've already witnessed a couple times this year, a couple guys,
Kaboosh!
Kaboom into the pylons.
Fiberglass and
fiberglass repair, metal, net repair.
Net repair. You can't. That thing was gone.
I think that one was gone, wasn't it?
Yeah, that one was not even pulled in.
But even more than that, guys, be safe. You know, these strong tides, especially when you got here in the middle of the bay, out by the shipping channel, around these new and full moons, they can really, really get ripping this time of year. And you know, you fall out of the boat, especially if you're by yourself, you're going to be at Egmont Key before you know it. So be real careful. And get out there and fish some of these great, great moving tides. That's where the most fish are going to be caught. So that's kind of what we got coming up this week, guys.
Travis, let's talk a little about tides because we kind of scan over tides every week, and tides are probably that's one of the big three things in fishing. There's weather, tides, and trying to think of my other
one. You got Salooner.
Yeah, the Salooner. The Salooners work, but I don't pay too much attention to them.
Well, if you can correlate the Salooners, I'll tell you my theory on a Salooner is because for years I used to really watch the Salooner feed times, and you talk to hunters and avid outdoorsmen, they kind of swear by it, and it does make sense, and a lot of people don't know what it is, but In terms of fishing, if you correlate the Salooner feed times, the majors and the minors, they're going to correlate to the peak periods of flow during any tide. So you'll notice that in most, when you have a major and a minor, the majors are going to be on the stronger points in the tide, which is going to be the most moving water. And so it has to do with the strongest change of magnetic force between Earth and the Moon. And so
wow, we're going college level
on
this
show.
We
can go science with it, but the point I'm trying to make is if you're not studying Salooners,
I wonder if G's hearing this.
You can try to put yourself in a place where the tide's moving the strongest. That's what the Salooner is.
My dad always told me, hang out with smart people.
Well, you know, I'm not saying I'm smart, but I had a hard time correlating the Salooner and the tide and the this and the that and all into one. And over a long time, I've kind of figured out that that's really what it is.
Listen, I'm still on addition and subtraction. You just busted out some geometry, okay?
Well, you know, hey, somebody's got to do it, bro. Somebody's got to do it.
Go ahead, skipped algebra. Just went straight to geometry.
Right on through, man. Differential equations, went through the whole deal, bro. But no. So that's kind of what we got, man. That's sort of
I've had people ask me that in seminars. You know what I just tell them? I was like, man, the Salooners are way too technical. Just pay attention to the tides.
Yeah, and
that's the not so technical way to answer.
Yeah, that's the like, hey man, just go out there. It doesn't really matter. Just go out there and fish.
Just go catch fish. What do you like the best? What's the best question I get asked at seminars? Do you like the outgoing or the incoming? I said, I like moving water.
Moving water.
I mean, you got to get technical, but you can't get too technical.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to keep it simple. That's my theory on life.
I've had that one asked, do I like the incoming? Do I like the outgoing? And my simple response is the same. I like moving water. But I kind of followed up and I said, well, it depends where I'm fishing.
Yeah,
depends
on the spot.
Because there's some places where you won't find me on an incoming tide because for me, where I fish, it doesn't produce fish. Now, that same place on the outgoing tide, you may find me there every outgoing tide on particular days because those fish that I fish are in an area when the falling tide happens, that's where they feed, ambush points, potholes, blowouts, things like that. So for me, that's what I always follow up with is, well, depends on where I'm fishing, but moving water is the key, guy. No matter what you do, moving water is the key. If you can find the most moving water, typically you're going to find the most fish.
I'm going to quiz you here. Explain a negative tide and a positive tide.
Well, a negative tide is when there is negative water.
What is negative water?
Which means there is none. There is negative water. That's when you come out. That's when you come out of Simmons Park and you see three or four boats laid up on the sandbar.
Yeah,
that's a negative tide. When they go, well, I didn't know there was no water there. Well, yeah, there wasn't a little while ago, bud.
Yeah, when you see the bird standing, you probably shouldn't run through there. You got a yellow boat.
Yeah, yeah. Typically, we get the negative tides around our full and new moons. The strongest pool for the longest time.
I just say that?
Yeah, yeah. You had it. So the tides are, we live our life every day by the tides.
Well, I'll go ahead and tell you my opinion. I like an incoming tide. You know why? Because if I get in somewhere, I know it's only going to get better.
Right.
But if you barely get in somewhere and the tide's going out, you're thinking, I got to get out of here and I'm running out of water.
Right.
If it's coming in, you can usually push your way in places and kind of wiggle the boat in through a sandbar.
Yeah.
And
and it kind of goes like, for redfish, I'm a low tide guy. I want a low tide,
Well, they tend to school up more.
They tend to school up, and they tend to be a little bit easier to target in terms of where they're at. One of the benefits of fishing a low tide or a negative tide, like we were talking about, is you have this extreme low tide, okay, where, areas where there would be, let's say, 75% of the year there would be water, there is no water. So it greatly increases the chance for you to say, well, there's not fish over there. And so you have a less of an area to kind of concentrate in on and fish. And if you can dial that in, then if you hit those areas on those extreme low tides, then you'll find concentrations of fish because you know where they're not. And so for me, particularly for redfish, I like a strong outgoing or even a negative low tide. Just because it makes it a little bit easier to find. Redfish are one of those fish that once they get in the bushes, they don't just get on the edge of the bushes. They get in the bushes. And so it can be sort of difficult to find them once they've gotten in on a high tide.
Yeah, it depends on the situation, time of year. You can expect to have a lot of negative tides, low water in the wintertime. Your higher tides are typically during the night more. And you also have a north wind blowing more often than not. South wind is going to bring more water in. And, south wind, the wind direction, it doesn't turn, it can turn a bite on, but I just don't like west wind. West wind on the south shore is horrible.
Yeah, it's bad for us.
And the old saying, east wind out of the east, fish bite least, wind out of the west, fish bite best. I don't really understand that terminology.
There's a lot of terminology.
I'm like, whoever came, what redneck came up with that? I mean,
They were from the West Coast.
Yeah, what if you're on the East Coast?
The East Coast.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe somebody can fill us in on that stuff. But, you know, it really depends. You know, I will agree with you. I like a low tide better than a high to a certain extent. Like, I don't like it too low to where you can't get in places. Navigate. You got to find that happy medium. Sure. You got to find that. I always call it the happy spot on the tide.
Sure.
Find out where that tide is. Maybe it's a low and it's coming in and it gets to that happy spot where the fish just get happy.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too low, there might be fish there, but they're too skittish to bite. They're just not comfortable. So, you know, that's where your technical pulling skiffs will do better. You know, the fish will probably eat, but they're real finicky. Everything that's thrown at them, they're gonna spook off, stuff like that. Unfortunately for us, we don't run technical pulling skiffs, so I can get in pretty shallow, but typically I'm you know, the bottom of the boat's kind of rubbing on the bottom or the trolling motor spooking. So, you know, if I can't use a trolling motor to target fish, I probably don't want to target him anyways. That's my theory on it. So,
Of course,
I don't run a technical skiff. But, you know, the tides are huge. Tides and weather, there's so many, like I tell people when fishing, there's so many things that control what we do that we have no control over.
Yeah.
So, but guys, we'll take a little break. I'm getting the finger from Gian there. I'm not sure which one, but he's giving me that look. We're going to pay some bills. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio when we get back with you.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have: durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing conditions. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
This is Captain Jason Prieto, and I have a new product to tell you about that puts more fish on the boat. It's called M80 Supercharged Chum with TNT Sparkle by M80 Marine Products. M80 Chum is a concentrated dry chum that is easily mixed with water and is great to use for all types of fish. From snapper and grouper on the wrecks to greenbacks on the flats, M80 Chum is always on my boat. If you're interested in purchasing some M80 Chum or would like more information on the product, just go to their website at www.m80marineproducts.com.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface disturbance corks with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto, these floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you'd like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com. Or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
This is Captain Jason Prieto, and when I'm getting my engine serviced, I can't think of anywhere better than Alify Marine. Alify Marine is a full service and warranty facility for Yamaha and Mercury outboards. They are also a dealer for all Weld and Starcraft boats that are in stock and turnkey ready. For all you do-it-yourself guys, they have all Yamalube and Mercury oils in stock. Don't forget, Alify Marine is a sales and warranty center for all power pole products to keep your power pole in good working condition. Alify Marine can meet all your service needs. Call now to schedule your next appointment. 813-671-BOAT.
O'Hara Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hara Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hara Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hara Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
And now it's time for the Come On Man, sponsored by Foy's Tire Service. If you need to get some new tires on your truck, car, or even your boat, just give Foy's Tire Service a call at 813-241-4017. And welcome back to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. You listen to Sports Talk 1040 The Team. I'm having a blip. Well, I just realized
he ain't been on the radio
that,
in so long, folks. And I know. He's really having trouble remembering how this works.
Well, you know, I just realized that I said Captain's Tip of the Week, and it's really the Come On Man.
I thought it was Come On Man. See, it was. Even me, man.
The new guy's corrected me. What's up with that? But the Come On Man, we should have about 30 of these. We should be able to do the whole show.
Oh, gosh. I could. Yeah, no. Well, you go first. I'll let you go first.
The marker, man. You know, the markers getting bait. There's a lot of guys out fishing. Etiquette. And we're going to talk about this on the third segment. You really need to practice etiquette. You know, when bait's thick, it doesn't really matter. But when bait's hard and somebody's chumming and you're running your boat and you come throw right in the chum, that kind of defeats the whole purpose of the guy chumming.
Yeah. Come on, man.
And I get that I don't own the whole marker or whoever's doing it, but maybe throw on the other side. Give me a second. The Come On Man is the guys that told me they were very nice. They looked at me when there's four boats idling around as I'm trying to chum bait on a very hard day with customers with me and says, "We've never done this before." I said, "Okay." And they were nice, but they said, "How big's your?" I said, "Well, first things first, you're throwing a 4-foot net.
Right.
You're just wasting your time." He said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah." And then he kept just motoring around me as I'm trying to chum bait up. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
After I leave, so I had the old Rodan in anchor lock. So, you know, I was cheating a little bit. And they tried to throw the anchor inside of the tower to anchor right next to the tower where I was because the wind and I look back. Then they're asking me what I'm chumming with, and I told them. I mean, I wasn't being mean. I was at the specific time. You know, some people might think I'm mean at the marker sometimes.
I'm working.
I'm concentrating on getting bait. When I'm in my mode of getting bait, like
it's like getting your coffee and donuts in the morning. And,
I wouldn't go that far. I would.
Well, when you go in and
or your biscuits and gravy
and
hard.
In my state of mind, it's the biscuits and gravy. So imagine you go in there and you go to get your biscuits and gravy in the morning, and it ain't around. And then you got to go down the road to another place and get your biscuits and gravy, and they're out.
Well, the difference between eating biscuits and gravy is you're actually exercising out there.
I still need my biscuits and gravy, man.
You can't get your biscuits and gravy.
So the bait is like my biscuits and gravy, you know? So until I get my biscuits and gravy, I just ain't right.
Well, you know, here's to the guy that was in the boat, Listen, it's not bad that you're on the Come On Man. It's just your week, brother. But you need to, like, sit back and watch. And when I say sit back and watch, I don't mean, like, 5 feet from my boat with the motor running. I mean, like, sit back, watch. And the first thing he says is, "Man, you got a big net." I says, 12 foot. He goes, "Yeah, ours is pretty small." I was like, "Yeah, you're not getting bait with that net." He's like, "Yeah, it's like a 4-footer." I'm like, "Dude, you're just wasting energy."
Well, not to stretch the bait situation, but meanwhile, while Jason's at the marker getting blown up, I'm over on the flat and power pull down, and every boat that comes by, you know, the other thing, guys, is word of the wise, on the water, voices travel a lot farther than they do on land. So even though you're running, when you're talking and yelling over your smoking two-stroke, other people around you can hear you, so I can't tell you how many times. Oh, they're getting bait right here, and then and here they come. You know
the guy's got a little bit of a target on him.
So, but the point is that just because the guide is sitting there chumming doesn't mean he has all the bait in front of his boat.
Matter of fact, every in that certain situation, there was no bait there.
In fact, yeah, and actually made it even worse. So, you know, when the bait comes in, you know, take your turn or don't get too close. Don't crowd everybody out. It just makes it worse on everybody. There was a little bit of bait there. I did get some bait, but it made it extremely tough when everybody wants to idle in and basically throw right where you're chumming.
Or, you know, a lot of guides are not mean ass.
I'm not mean. In fact, the guy that pulled up next to me, he says, you know, are you getting any bait? I said, yeah, there's actually some bait here. I said, if we all kind of get side by side here and start chumming and get a chum slick out in front of us, I said, there's probably enough to get bait. But it gotten to the point where the bait was so shooken up, you know, we try to get out there before sunrise or right at sunbreak so that we can kind of hit that lull before things get going crazy. And unfortunately, that morning it didn't work out, and it didn't work out for me, and it didn't work out for the other 10 boats that were sitting there. But
when bait's skittish, it's only worse.
It only
10
gets
boats.
Worse when everybody, you know, the proper way, if you see a boat, whether it's a guide or whether it's a recreational angler, we don't have, you know, special privileges, but there's a certain etiquette, and we're going to talk about this in the next segment too. But, you know, if there's a guy power pulled down, even if Jason's power pulled down, I don't idle up to him. Even if he calls me and says, hey, I'm getting bait here, I'll lay down, you know, 50, 100 yards away from him, maybe not 100, but say 50 yards away on the big motor, and I'll troll a motor in behind or in front or whichever way is, you know, the right way, get out of the chum slick and don't blow up what he's doing. And you'll find that you can pull right up, throw a little bit of chum out, and you both can get bait and be done with it, as opposed to where if I had idled in, it may take him another 20, 30 minutes to get that bait into a position where we can make it worth throwing and getting, you know, a net full of bait. So if you see that taken on, you know, go ahead and, you know, turn the big motor off, idle in, pull in, float in. You know, sometimes you can get upwind and just kind of drift in and then set your power pole down. It's not the fact that people think they own a certain area. It's that when you feel like you've gotten there first to do the right thing and go ahead and get your bait and do it, you know, the right way, and somebody else kind of messes you up. That's what makes you angry. It's not that somebody pulls up next to me. It's that when everything else kind of gets screwed up as a result of somebody not knowing kind of what to do. And so if you don't know what to do, you know, like you said, kind of sit back and just watch for a minute, and you'll pick it up pretty quick. So not really a come-on man, because I really don't have any direct, you know,
I had a come-on, you know, man. These guys were comical.
But, you know, I didn't have bait. And I was in the middle of this ring of people, you know, trying to catch bait. And I politely, you know, said, guys, I'm out of here. Good luck. And rather than cranking up the big motor and idling out, you know, I trolling motored off another 50 yards, put my big motor down, and I took off and went to another place where, you know, there was some bait. So
let me give I want to give a good word of advice about four strokes. Everybody thinks four strokes are quiet. Four strokes are quiet outside of the water. Go ahead and stick your head, while obviously it's not in gear, I don't want to be chopping their head off. Stick your head under the water with the motor running in neutral.
Yeah.
It's just as loud as a two-stroke.
Yeah.
The exhaust goes through the prop. And I hear people say, oh, I got a four-stroke, it doesn't make any noise. No, it does. It just doesn't make noise on top. It's the way they route the exhaust on you got exhaust on a two-stroke. Typically, you got more exhaust that comes out of the exhaust ports in the back than a four-stroke. But it's plenty loud underwater. So when you're idling around with that motor running, and there's times where the bait is so thick and so happy,
it doesn't matter.
There's other when it gets tough is when you have to be technical. It's the same thing with fishing. There's times when you can just idle up to the spot, catch fish, no big deal. Even a school reds. There's other times where you've got to really be technical, whether it's working your trolling motor on low, whether it's using the wind to drift into somewhere. You just can't motor on top of stuff all the time. It does work sometimes, and knowing is so important to catching fish out there. And the other thing is, if you're going to come in on somebody, you know, if you make a mistake, it's not a huge deal. Just kind of say sorry, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
and it happens. I've done it on a school tarpon. I've kind of misjudged the school one way, and then I didn't get a good angle on them. Whatever. I mean, everybody makes mistakes, even guides, every day.
All the time.
So, you know,
I'm a mistake.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I'm just a mistake.
Yeah, me too. So, you know, we started out as mistakes. But, you know, it's just etiquette, and we're going to talk a little bit more about different things to do. But it's really important, especially during the spring. I mean, it is so crowded on the South Shore. It's so crowded everywhere. And it's because the weather's so good. The fishing's been great as a whole. And everybody wants to get out. It's that time of year. And it's funny. This time of year, it's like the guys that you've never – I mean, I've been doing this 12 years, and there's guys popping up that – like, I'm like, well, who is this guy? Like, and then sure enough, he's got a captain's license. He runs like 10 trips a year and, you know, whatever. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
When the fishing's good, they will come.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, that's the downside. I mean, March it's busy, but I like the off season. I'm out there by myself a lot.
Yeah.
And it's peaceful. You know, I don't particularly like fishing crowds a lot, and I have to do it during tarpon season just because the way it falls. But I don't want a few boats, but it's just people don't know what they're doing, and they don't pay attention to what they're doing, and they mess it up for other people.
That, yep.
And it especially is bad when you've got paying customers on the boat. You know, not that we're any more important than anybody else. It really doesn't matter. What's right is what's right, and what's wrong is wrong.
Right, because on some level, somebody paid to go out, even if it's a recreational anchor, they've paid to put fuel in the boat and put sandwiches in the cooler and a handful of beers. You know, they're just as they have just as much right to it, and I agree with you, that's not what we're saying. It's just the point that if you don't know what you're doing, don't act like you do. That's what gets irritating.
Go to the seminars, listen to the radio shows, read the articles, man. That's what we did. We didn't go to some secret fishing school that nobody else knew. We put our time in.
You spend a lot of time out there. You know, I
learn every day.
By mistake. Like, it goes back to mistake. You know, I've made more mistakes, and that's how I've learned to do the right things, is by sort of making the mistakes. But in the same token, it's you got to realize you made a mistake, admit to it, and figure out what you're going to do to make it better right the next time, whatever that is.
You know? I mean, I remember somebody blowing out a marker last month.
Yeah, hey, you know. And
throwing a brand new net on the rock.
Hey, but we're not going to talk about that today. That's not what we're talking about, okay?
Oh, that could do it. I mean, but see, the good thing is a month later we can sit back and laugh about it.
We can laugh about it. I laughed about it that morning, about 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
I kind of laughed about it.
And I was trying to get you bait.
Oh, my God.
So not only did you hang your net.
I had no bait.
I blew the marker out that I was trying to get bait for you.
I guarantee you there was bait in my net. I guarantee you.
You probably killed half the bait.
There's probably 10-pound snapper on that marker right now, and it's all because of me.
I'm sure they blew that humpback nut up. Well, guys, we're going to take a little break. Don't forget, if you missed the show, you can catch us on podcast. Plenty of ways to find us. You can go to our official website, brand new site. Neil's done a great job. CaptainMel.com. They've got a bunch of articles, bunch of guides up there, great form. It's a great online source of information. It's like an online magazine pretty much. Also, facebook.com/Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. Don't forget, if you'd like to do a charter, whether it's a kayak, offshore, inshore, nearshore, give us a call on our Premier Guides hotline, 813-373-2610. We can get you set up with either Neil, Travis, myself, or if you're looking offshore, we can put you in one of our guys that we use. We'll put you with Billy Nobles or something like that. Well, guys, we'll take a little break. We get back, we're talking more fishing. This is Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team.
This is Captain Danny Guarino. One of the questions asked of a live bait fishing guide is, what should I use to chum up live bait? The answer is Purina 45, and Smelt Feed and Pet Supply carries it. It's cheaper and better than making it yourself. Smelt Feed and Pet Supply is conveniently located in Tampa at 4116 East 7th Avenue. Just ask for the bait chum that all the fishing guides use. Smelt Feed and Pet Supply, 248-2359. Or you can visit them on the web at smeltfeed.com.
Fishing Supply Liquidators, where your fishing dollar goes further. Over 500,000 top brand name rods, reels, lures, and frozen bait at crazy low prices. Open 7 days a week, we teach people how to catch fish and back up our sales with professional and courteous service, rod and reel repair, and support. We can custom order any fishing tackle item that we don't stock. We're located at the Oldsmar Flea Market. Come on in.
Are you looking for high performance and top quality fishing gear that will hold up under the toughest of fishing conditions? Then check out the O'Haro lineup of fishing products now available at your local tackle retailer or online at oharofishing.com. Choose from a wide variety of rods, reels, lines, tools, and accessories to help you get the job done next time you're reeling in the big one. O'Haro, conquering the fishing world one cast at a time.
12 Fathom Saltwater Series Lures, top quality soft plastic baits. The line of 12 Fathom lures are designed to trick all species and are available in the most productive colors. Visit their website, 12fathom.com. Use the lures pros throw, 12 Fathom lures, and catch more fish. Make them an offer they can't refuse with 12 Fathom lures.
The old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, holds true for your vehicle's health as well as your personal health. The experienced technicians at Home Auto Care perform a free safety inspection with any maintenance or repair service, allowing them to spot a minor problem before it turns into an expensive breakdown. All repairs are guaranteed at Home Auto Care. At Home Auto Care, 2003 South U.S. Highway 41 in Ruskin, Florida. Call 813-645-0339. To schedule your vehicle for an appointment today.
This is Captain Jason Prieto. If you want to keep up with Danny and myself during the week to see what our latest catch is, just find us on Facebook. Search Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show and hit the like button. We will keep you dialed in on what's biting on Tampa Bay.
Captain Danny Guarino here. DOA Lures has done it again. Captain Mark Nichols of DOA Lures has introduced his newest creation.
DOA Airhead.
It will bring fish out of any hiding place. DOA Lures,
the unfair advantage.
Innovators, not followers. Check them out at the local tackle store or on the web at doalures.com.
This is Neil Taylor with CaptainMel.com, Florida's number one fishing website, founded by Captain Mel Berman. Your one stop for all your online fishing needs. CAPMEL.com. Again, that's CapMel.com.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by PowerPole Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to PowerPole.com. Welcome back to the last segment of the show. This is the Captain's Tip of the Week. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. Captain Travis Yeagle is in the studios.
He's here.
Jason Prieto also finally in the studios. Neil Taylor is
absent.
He's absent. He's looking for his paddle. He's up the creek without
a paddle.
He's looking
for members of the Strike 3 fishing team.
Yes. How funny is that? I wonder, you know, he always posts stuff at
night. I'm wondering when the team's coming in to do radio.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. Neil, if you hear that, I know
you're listening.
Yeah,
we need to bring the team in.
We need to bring the Strike 3 team in. Anybody that's seen his Facebook page, it's crazy. But, guys, we got the Captain's Tip of the Week.
Travis. Tip of the week.
You got some tournaments coming up. So give us an artificial tip of the week.
Yeah, artificial tip of the week.
With all the live bait running around.
Yeah. Well, guys, when it comes to artificial fishing, my gosh, we could do 5 shows on artificial, lures, but...
You could do one sentence with Danny. The gold spoon.
Gold spoon, baby.
The good old gold spoon, Johnson.
All the way, man, all the way. He goes, I'm a lefty. I work it different. I'm like, what's the difference, man?
He's with your other hand?
What the heck, man? But he seemed to whack him, and I couldn't, So
that's
maybe,
funny.
Maybe
I'm a lefty.
Man.
I work it
He's a lefty. I work it different.
In all forms of life.
Exactly. I'll be fishing the Florida Pro this weekend. Actually, I just fished it yesterday on the show. Some of the things to go to this time of year would be a gold spoon. I'm a big advocate of the DOA, clan of lures. I really like the DOA Cal.
Great bait.
My favorite is the number 313 gold glitter. If you've ever
heard
me
out the
talk,
number.
Oh yeah. If you've ever heard me talk on radio or read any articles or any of that kind of stuff, you'll see that one day Mark Nichols is just going to send me a lifetime supply of number 313s, dude. I'm working on it.
Mark is a good guy.
Mark's a great guy. But But anyway, those are some of my baits of choice. I like the 313 Gold Glitter, which is a gold. It's a solid gold, soft plastic. I also like the root beer, depending on where I'm fishing. So normally I'll go light or dark. Another great bait that kind of gets overlooked this time of year. You know, we kind of talked about, you know, bait and white bait and greenbacks, pilchards, whatever you want to call them this time of year. Mirror lure makes a great bait called a Mirrodine. And there's a couple different flavors of it as far as how it works in the water. You've got some suspending baits. You got a little bit more topwater baits. And the Mirror Lure Mirrodine looks exactly like a greenback. They got a couple different colors, a couple different shades of green. They even got like a little purple one and a pink one. But my favorite is just the standard, you know, greenback, silver-sided twitch bait. And particularly this time of year when you get a lot of guys chumming white bait up on the flats, up near the mangroves, things like that, I'll find myself grabbing a Mirrodine and kind of mimicking one of those distressed white baits, things like that, things that some of the live bait people are using to get these fish excited.
Match the hatch.
And match the hatch, you know. And so that's one of the things that we always kind of keep tied on. A gold spoon typically is something that we'll use on more of a school, more of a schooling type atmosphere where you can make a really long cast with a gold spoon. Not really technical when you reel it in to retrieve it.
It's
something that you can throw out there real fast, retrieve different speeds, different twitches, but you can get it in fast and you know, keep going. Also, you know, we prefer weedless spoons, the ones that we use, just because most of the time we're throwing over a grass flat or broken potholes where you've got sand and grass mixed in. And so that would kind of be, you know, what I'd say a tip of the week as far as on the artificials and, you know, some redfish tournaments coming up. Also, you know, don't be surprised if a 40-inch snook comes up and slams one of those, because I've caught plenty of very large snook on artificial baits, particularly when I'm redfishing. What was it? Last year, you guys were fishing down south, and I think it was the IFA.
Yeah,
you guys got a big snook on artificial.
They have hungry. The fish are a tad more hungry there.
Yeah,
I've never caught big snook. I'll be honest, I've never caught big snook here on artificials. And I'll be honest, you've probably spent way more hours on artificials than I have. I've thrown them decent at them. Boca Grande, there's no doubt about it. They don't have the bait that we have.
No,
they have a lot of bait on the flats in the summer, but in the spring and fall, there's just not that consumption of bait. So the fish are relying on shrimp and glass minnows.
They're more of a crustacean bait
type.
Pattern,
yeah. So with that being said, they're also a little bit more hungry.
Sure.
And more aggressive. So
Well, see, and what I've noticed is, I mean, like one of my largest snook, 42 inches, over 20 pounds, and it was caught on a DOA cow, number 313 Gold Glitter, just like I told you, a little 3.5-inch. Soft plastic, and it wasn't I wasn't out snook fishing, you know, I was out throwing jig for redfish, you know, and I've noticed that I tend to hook and catch, me particularly, more big snook on artificial like that than actually going to target snook, like where we would live bait fish. It's these, you know, solos and pairs of big fish that you see cruising one particular shoreline or something like that, and you just happen to get in front of one or get one excited enough to, you know, strike a bait. And so that's kind of why I threw that in there, is because we have caught a lot of large snook, you know, throwing artificial lures, not necessarily targeting them, but they'll lay out there off the bar in some of these broken potholes. You know, there's 35, 36, 40-inch snook solo just laying out there, you know, especially on some of these lower tides. It's going to push some of these bigger fish to get out in some of these deeper bellies and pockets on some of these flats. And so if you can't find the bait, those are a couple good alternatives to still putting a good day in on the water and, you know, catching some fish. You're always likely to catch trout on soft plastics. And it's, you know, for me, it seems like this late-in trout bite's been a little bit better than what should have been in the wintertime. We've been catching quite a few trout, and I've even had a couple days where, you know, we've put 3 or 4 man limits on the boat, and trout kind of late in the season here. So, that's what I would recommend. That would be my kind of tip of the week. When you see the bait show up, call us, let us know where you got it. and then, target those areas, where you see the large schools of bait, not necessarily where everybody's catching bait, but if there's large schools of bait in the area, chances are that, you know, there could be, you know, some good schools of jacks. You could even see ladyfish. You could see some of these bar snook that lay on the bars and stuff like that showing up in some of these bait schools. So if you don't have a boat to get back in some of these areas where it's real shallow, don't try. Fish on the outside of the bar until there's enough water for you to idle in or troll a motor into an area instead of, you know, throwing mud for 400 yards across a flat. The bait's going to sit on the outside of these bars when it comes in, and there's going to be plenty of fish that are going to be willing to come out and take advantage of that too. So, you know, get out there and get some fishing done, and give us a call. And all we request is GPS coordinates, sizes.
Gas money. we need a gas sponsor on the show. Non-ethanol gas sponsor.
No kidding.
Wawa.
I'm
going to get Wawa.
Great sandwich.
Gee, we're getting Wawa for a gas sponsor. Can we pull that off? He's giving me the nod.
I like it.
The nod. We got 2 minutes left, guys. Going into next week, I'm going to give you my quick report. New moon's coming up. Means crazy tides at the markers to get bait. Also, good tides. You're going to have good flush throughout the bay no matter where you are. And we're going to typically lead into full moon. Stuff's going to be moving around. I suspect you're going to start seeing some tarpon early this year.
Yep.
I've already got
wind of a couple guys that have already jumped a few.
Well, TJ is...
He's been on them for a month.
Yeah. TJ is I get tarpon burnout.
TJ's already caught more tarpon this year already than I'll probably catch in my little tarpon season I run on the inside.
Well, you seen my tarpon burnout last year. You're like, we're on tarpon. I'm like, I'm going snook fishing. I can't do it anymore. But I do a lot of tarpon for about a month and a half. But, you know, you can start seeing some of these tarpon moving in the bay. And
Cobia
run's going to start happening, whatever few we got left from people killing them on the markers, if you know what I mean, certain guides.
Oh, yeah.
But we got a lot of stuff coming up, and I would suspect it's going to start happening on this moon. You're going to start seeing the schools of reds in big numbers show up, and it's going to be good. It's going to be a good week. We got good tides. Remember, guys, etiquette. Get out there. Go fishing. Take your kid fishing. Get out there. Have fun. Don't get in an argument on the water. Don't get in a yelling match with somebody. We're all out there. Well, we're out there for work for the most part. But, you know, I got the opportunity to take my daughters fishing this past weekend on a day that I really didn't want to go because it was my only day off in 2 weeks. And I have to tell you, I enjoyed the other side of it, the non-fishing stress side, and I had a great time with my kids and my wife. And that's what you guys should be doing as recreational anglers. It's not all about putting 30 snook in the boat. It's about going out there, having a good time, you know, and every day that you learn something's a better day. Just really practice etiquette. Get out there. You know, if you want to argue and yell, I'm sure you can find somebody at home or at work to do that with. No sense in doing it on the water. And it's a growing problem. And the other growing problem, and it's, you know, I have to say, not us in particular, but us as guides, it kind of starts there with the, I've caught 100 snook and the egos. Put the egos aside. Fishing is fishing. To be honest with you, I could care less of the big – I mean, if you want to talk to me about the big fish, it's great, but bragging a big fish to me doesn't impress me. And if you really want to hear these stories, go to one of the big redfish tournaments.
I've actually had clients, it was kind of bittersweet where, you know, they look at you and they go, well, we don't want to catch any more snook, you know. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. And so it's not all about catching the fish.
No, it's the experience.
Putting a great day on the water.
It is the experience. Well, guys, we're going to cut out of here. We're going to go fishing. I think we're going fishing, Travis.
I like it. Let's go.
Well, guys, until next week, go catch some fishing tight lines. We'll be right back. Precision Tackle offers a variety of spoons and spinnerbaits that are superior to any others on the market today. The Flats Intruder Wheeler spoons are offered in 8 ounce, quarter ounce, and half ounce sizes and come in gold, silver, copper, and black. Precision Tackle also offers the Thunder Spin, Cajun Flash, and Stalker Spinner Baits. These baits are made to perform flawlessly in salt water and catch plenty of trout, redfish, flounder, and mackerel.
This is Captain Jason Prieto. If you want to keep up with Danny and myself during the week to see what our latest catch is, just find us on Facebook. Search Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show and hit the like button. We will keep you dialed in on what's biting on Tampa Bay.
Want to catch more fish? Try Ohero's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohero fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohero fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box. See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
This is Captain Jason Prieto, and when I'm getting my engine serviced, I can't think of anywhere better than Alify Marine. Alify Marine is a full service and warranty facility for Yamaha and Mercury outboards. They are also a dealer for all Weld and Starcraft boats that are in stock and turnkey ready. For all you do-it-yourself guys, they have all Yamalube and Mercury oils in stock. Don't forget, Alify Marine is a sales and warranty center for all PowerPool products to keep your PowerPool in good working condition. Alify Marine can meet all your service needs. Call now to schedule your next appointment. 813-671-BOAT.
This is Captain Jason Prieto, and I have a new product to tell you about that puts more fish on the boat. It's called M80 Supercharged Chum with TNT Sparkle by M80 Marine Products. M80 Chum is a concentrated dry chum that is easily mixed with water and is great to use for all types of fish. From snapper and grouper on the wrecks to greenbacks on the flats, M80 Chum is always on my boat. If you are interested in purchasing some M80 Chum or would like more information on the product, just go to their website at www.m80marineproducts.com.
Live, local.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you what.
Your home for NBC Sports, the new Sports Talk 1040, The Team, and SportsTalkFlorida.com.